pray.
God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that bears witness to you. Emmanuel, God with us, we pray your presence this morning and the pouring out of your Holy Spirit, that our minds might be illuminated, that we might see you just a bit clearer today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a story of an 18th century French commander, and he was ordered to go to one of the squares in Paris because there were some protests happening, and he was ordered to take his militia and shoot all of the protesters. So he goes there and trying to figure out how to carry out an order and be faithful to the command he was given, and yet be a human being and not fire on senseless people, or defenseless, not senseless. That may have been Freudian anyway. Not fire on defenseless people. So he finds himself some tall ground around the square, and he rises up and he gets the crowd quiet. Imagine a musket had something to do with that. But he gets the crowd quiet and he says to them, I have been ordered to shoot all of the protesters and the rabble-rousers that are here in this square. But as I look out upon the square, I see a lot of good French folks here. So would all of you good and honest French folks mind please leaving the square so I can shoot the rabble? Remarkably, the square was cleared and the protest went away. This French officer was able to do what he was assigned to do, which was clear the protest. But he did it by reframing the whole event, by slightly looking at it from a different perspective. He was able to affect the result that everyone wanted, and nobody got hurt. This parable that Roberta read a few minutes ago, Jesus is with his disciples, and he says, I don't know why I'm trying to hold my hands back, but I was trying not to talk with my hands. I don't know. But Jesus was with his disciples, and somebody in the crowd says, hey, Jesus, my brother won't share my family inheritance with me. Can you make him, please? And Jesus says, who made me your arbitrator of family issues? Go see Judge Judy, get it handled. But then he tells a parable. And he tells a story of this dude who's a farmer. And this farmer has a really good crop one year. I mean, so good that he doesn't have any more room in the barn. So he says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down that barn and make another. Now, if we think about this story, we quickly go to, well, he was greedy and all of this. But if you think about it, he didn't do anything wrong. He had a bumper crop. He could have just as easily had a bad crop. He didn't do anything wrong. He's putting money into the local economy. He's building new barns. Somebody had a job because this guy was going to build new barns. Everything seemed on the surface to be right. This guy's got a good thing going. He decides he's going to build more barns. More people have jobs. Looks like the economy is just going to keep rolling along. But then Jesus reframed the situation. He came to look at it from a slightly different perspective. And he said, this is the night when you're going to be called home. Now, the very idea for us as listeners to that parable is, how would that change our decision-making paradigm? How would that change what we had done? Well, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, Would you do anything differently today now that you knew that fact? Jesus is saying, look at the perspective a little differently. If you were demanded to give an account of everything that you did today, because this is your last day on earth, would you be happy with the way you used it? Jesus was trying to reframe this situation. Because inherently, there's nothing wrong with being a good business person. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with being a good farmer. Inherently, there is nothing wrong with saving for the future. We all were raised in the United States of America. Those three precepts were put into us before we got to kindergarten, right? Work hard. Get a good result. Save your money. Prepare for the future. But Jesus says, let's look at that a little differently. In the same way that he never gave an answer to the young man who was asking to help with his family dispute, Jesus only gives us one insight at the end of this parable. It's better to be rich in your relationship with God than to be rich with barns full of stuff. Now, does that help in any way? Because I'm pretty sure most of you guys, if you're still working, you have a 401k, or you're working for the future, and you're planning on saving, and you're planning on having a retirement someday, and you're planning on utilizing your money wisely. To me, it's not overly helpful, because most of us go to Scripture looking for answers. We want to know exactly what we're supposed to do. But Jesus doesn't really give us that. He just gives us a different perspective. And this perspective remains consistent with everything that Jesus has taught up to this point, which is being others-centered, being God-centered, and not being self-centered. Now, he's not really helpful in the fact that he doesn't give us a percentage that we should keep away for ourselves for the future. He doesn't give us a percentage that we should give away. He doesn't give us a percentage of how much of our daily time we should be spending with other people. Because, gosh, wouldn't that be helpful? Because then we could all be accountants and tick off the boxes when we've done it right. But that's not what he says. What he says is, it's better to be rich in a relationship with God. That's not a bumper sticker kind of answer. It doesn't help us. Just like the scripture I read from Ecclesiastes. Doesn't seem real hopeful, does it? Everything's vanities, we're all going to die. Yay, that's uplifting. But I think that's Jesus' point here, is that we are all on a journey of faith. That's what the psalm was talking about. Psalm 107 says, God is faithful as we journey through, some of us through the desert, some of us from the east, some of us from the west. We're on an onward journey towards God. We are on a journey, and guess what? Sometimes things are going to happen. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament scholar, says that we don't talk enough in our churches about the lamentation part of Scripture when bad things happen, because they do, and it's horrible. Sorry, I'm going to digress for just a minute, but in the last, 20 hours, We've had two mass shootings, one in Walmart in El Paso and one in Dayton, Ohio. I haven't looked at the news since probably 7 this morning, but by my count, there were 29 dead and numerous more injured. That's not a happy, feel-good thought. That is not a good thing. I didn't prepare this morning to talk to you about some sort of gun control program, some sort of thing that's going to help us get out of what we do. But you do know that for each of you sitting here, you are more likely statistically to be injured in gun violence than you are riding in a car. That's how much we've had this happen. I have no idea what we do about that. I have no idea how we fix that problem. I'm not a politician. I don't know. Maybe some of you have great ideas. I hope you do, and I hope you can. But I think it's one thing that we learn from this parable and from the passage in Ecclesiastes is that we don't know what the time is. We don't know what tomorrow is. We know we're on a journey. We know we're going with God because God promised Emmanuel, God with us. But we don't know what tomorrow will bring. It's not always going to be roses simply because we are Christians. But because we are Christians, we have hope in the future. Perhaps one of the things that Jesus was trying to tell in the parable was for us not to depend upon ourselves too much and maybe trust God a little more. Maybe that was something that he intended in that parable. I don't know. But I know this morning that there are families who are asking the question, why? Why did my loved one who just went to the store to pick up some milk not come home? Why did that happen? Why? I know I would be. I would be asking that question. I asked that question this morning, why it had to happen, and I'm not even involved. Not personally. But maybe, just maybe, the idea of reframing situations, reframing the way we look at things, things that are inherently not bad, like saving, like the man in the parable saving for the future, building new barns, helping the economy. All of those things were inherently good. They're not evil. But by simply shifting the perspective, we get a new view of them because they are inherently selfish. Maybe when we look at America today, where at least twice a month we get a mass shooting, maybe we have to look at a different perspective in order to give us a view to say that some things that we do as a culture that may not be inherently bad or evil are still wrong and self-centered. Maybe as a culture we have to look at ourselves from a different perspective and say, why? 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 Are we holding on to things that are inherently good and giving up those things that are inherently great? And when we do that, are people suffering? I have no idea what the answer is. The writer of Ecclesiastes said it's all vanities. Good, the smart, the dumb. He says folly, I say dumb. Those things, doesn't matter. We're all going to die in the end. He's reached a conclusion at that point that there is nothing. I don't think that's the answer either. But I think the answer is in what Jesus said. that each of us, as individuals and as a community of faith, have to begin to focus on that which is great, that which is godly, that which is heavenly. And when our perspective changes, we care less about ourselves and our own rights and more about those things which are important, which are others and God. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.